Coming up on today's edition of Women and Money, the shit we don't talk about, our guest is Kimberly Lewis, co-founder of Curl Mix.
Curl Mix is a clean beauty brand for curly hair. Kim is a powerhouse, and we can't wait to explore her business, her experience on Shark Tank, and her vision for the future of her business.
I'm excited to talk with Kim because we were both in a business incubator for women at 1871 in Chicago. She always impressed the heck out of me.
I remember that. It's so cool seeing one of your colleagues really killing it. Kim's story is a great one for all female business owners to learn from and for anyone who's looking to get inspired.
Let's do it.
Steinem once said, "We will never solve the feminization of power until we solve the masculinity of wealth." Barbara Provost and Maggie Nielsen are the team at Purse Strings that will help you navigate the ins and outs of financial independence so that you can be financially fearless. This is Women and Money, the shit we don't talk about.
So this podcast is Women and Money, the shit we don't talk about, but today we're going to be talking about it. So women are starting their own businesses today more than ever before, and we are honored to have Kim Lewis here, co-founder of Curl Mix, with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Barbara. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so glad that you're here.
Would you mind sharing with our audience a little intro about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So hello, everyone. I'm Kim, CEO and co-founder of Listener Brands, which owns Curl Mix and 4C Only. So we have a portfolio of brands, but we're most known for Curl Mix. Curl Mix started as a do-it-yourself box for curly hair. So think like Blue Apron, but for hair. And then we pivoted to our flaxseed gel, which was our best-selling product, and later launched a wash and go collection to help women get this hairstyle. So we help you master your curls in 21 days, or it's free. So we give our customers store credit if they don't love it, and let them buy something else because we have more products for them to purchase. And we manufacture on the west side of Chicago, so we're vertically integrated. We literally produce, pack, fill, ship all of our own products. And then we have two brands. And we have about 40 or so people on our team. And my husband and I are high school sweethearts. So we met when we were 16. Well, we met when we were 14, but we started dating when we were 16. And we have literally been together ever since. And I have two small boys, a two-year-old and a four-year-old. So they keep us very busy.
Wow. You have got a lot going on. I know when we met a few years back, when we were at 1871 in Chicago, and Curl Mix was not what it is today, right? You pivoted it a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. When you and I met Barb, we were doing the DIY boxes. So it was at our accelerator, and that's when I learned my do-it-yourself boxes were a vitamin and not a painkiller. So they were fun to do, but my best customers would had boxes stacking up because they're like, we just can't get to all of them. And it's just, it's too much work. And they're still actually buying ready-made products. And so we were like, okay, how do we pivot? Because, you know, this isn't quite growing. Like I would expect a subscription box company to grow. And we're like, okay, what is our best-selling product? What is our best-selling product where people come back and buy over and over and over again? And it was our flaxseed gel. So we went to manufacturers to try to get it made, but they all said no. Literally like three or four, because we're literally boiling raw flax seeds, like the one that you would eat as an egg substitute or put in a smoothie. When you boil them, they make a really gooey gel. And then it's great for helping you get this style that's in my hair right now, like the wash and go on like really coily, curly hair. And so me and my husband just said we would figure it out ourselves. I was 7 months pregnant. This is bottom of 2017, October. I spent 30 days in my kitchen making 50 different batches of flaxseed gel until I came up with one that like I loved, that I thought was scalable. And I'm literally making it in a stock pot. And whenever I would go outside with it in my hair, people would flag me down like on Michigan Avenue asking me what I put in my hair because they wanted to know how I got this style. And the funny thing about flaxseed gel is that it doesn't really matter. Like most people are using it when they're DIYing gel at home, whether you're straight, curly, kinky. People are DIYing it, but no manufacturer would do it. So it wasn't on the shelf at Target or anything like that. So we launched it to our audience. We did some pre-sales and we sold like hundreds in a matter of hours. And we had never sold anything that successfully before. Like at that time, we were only doing a couple hundred orders a month. So to do hundreds in hours was like, oh my gosh, this is what people want. And I was able to charge the same amount of money for a whole box, where the box maybe had 15 different touches to put all the packages together and the ingredients, and the margins were only 30%, or the margins on the gel were 90%. And I was like, and I'm able to sell each thing for $30. And I was like, oh, we're doing this all wrong. We need to pivot. And so top of 2018, we pivoted our entire business. We tossed out 6 months of boxes from the do-it-yourself box and 6 months of content, 6 months of recordings, photography, videography, everything, and pivoted to the flaxseed gel. And then we did 3,000 that month. And by March, we were doing about 30,000 a month in sales on no ad spend. So this, we were doing revenue sharing with micro influencers, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is what people want, not what we were putting together before. So my husband left his job. He was probably making like 200K at the time in IT. And that's like a big deal, especially for like Black kids from the inner city growing up, you know, blue collar jobs that our parents had. Like, we went to college. And so he left his 200K job to come work full time in the business. We both were. And that year we made $1 million in revenue. So,
wow, that's crazy. Now, wait a minute. You weren't making all this in your kitchen at the time, were you?
Not the whole million, no. So right around March, we got our first check from Arlen Hamilton of Backstage Capital for $25,000. And by this point, you know, Chromex was not my first business. I had a photography business before, and then I had a niche social network for natural hair. And that, I would consider both of those like failures of mine. And so I had put in maybe $100,000 of my own money or $25,000 of my own money at this point. So I had lost a lot of money. And so by the time I got an investment from Arlen that March, right around the pivot, we used that to buy our first machine to scale up from 60 units in a batch to 600 units in a batch. Wow. And so that was, and we moved into an incubator here in Chicago for manufacturers.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations to you, to both of you. Well, and it's hard work, right? Nothing happens overnight is what we learn as entrepreneurs. It's hard, hard work. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So you guys, is the $25,000 your first kind of investor money that you got as an entrepreneur? How did you do that?
So, you know, it's funny. And I still do this today, even though we're basically going to do $10 million in revenue this year. I still do this very thing that I did back when we were making like very little money. I had no money. I would travel to any and everywhere to expand my network. So I know that, you know, we're in this digital world and a lot of people want to meet people digitally and this, that, and the other. But honestly, you got to get in people's faces for them to be wowed by you. And I have a bit of charisma. And so I know that if people meet me, they'll remember me. So it's important for me to like get on a plane and go to where they are. So Arlen Hamilton, this is back in 2017. I had first kind of got in touch with the event that she had. And the day that I met you, Barb, and with Women in STEM was actually the same day I met, like the day before I had met Arlen. Mm. So because there was an event in California for founders of color, like $40 per person. It was in the basement of some incubator in Silicon Valley. It wasn't a big incubator. And they were basically just doing talks. And you got to meet VCs and they would give you feedback on your products. And this is Arlen's first round of capital that she had ever raised. I think she was in the process of raising like $1 million. And she was, this was our first speaking event ever because she hated speaking. And it's funny because now she's on the cover of like Fast Company. She's like super famous, making millions of dollars, several funds. She's like so much more wealthy now and well-known, but she wasn't back then. So she was at this event that I just decided I was going to book a flight to and a hotel stay to. And I'm like, I didn't even go honestly to see Arlen. I went to see Danielle Leslie and Tara Reid, like some other folks that were there. Mm-hmm. And Arlen just happened to be there. So she was there and she met with us and she was just like, you know, I think I might be interested in investing in your company. And her check sizes were about 25K. And we were just excited. We were like, oh my gosh, she's gonna give us money. She's like, I don't have the money today, but I can be like your advisor and put you connected with my limited partners or my LPs. And we're like, okay, cool. And that's when we met Gilbert, who suggested that maybe we pivot to the flaxseed gel since it was our bestseller. And then we had pivoted and then, you know, did the 30,000 in monthly revenue. And then that's when we got the check from Arlen. So we met Arlen in like maybe, I don't know, March of the previous year, but we didn't get the check till like February of the next year. And then we used it. So by that time we had already pivoted, which is great. Otherwise we might've spent 25,000 on something that we might've spent it on the, you know, the DIY box, which would have been a waste of money.
Right.
And so met Arlen, got the 25K, did the million in revenue. And then we filmed for Shark Tank.
Yeah, tell us about Shark Tank.
Oh my gosh. So So March is when we do that first 30,000 and we get the check from Arlen, move it to the manufacturing facility. And then in May, we found out that they're doing casting calls for Shark Tank in our city at a local college. My husband and I go, we go with our 6-month-old because we don't have like daycare, right? I told you guys I was pregnant when I came up with the formula, right? So I have a baby on my hip and we didn't have daycare or any kind of like childcare for him. So we just brought him with us. And he cried during the pitch, like literally halfway through, starts crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, like they're not gonna let us on the show. And at the end of it, she's like, you're Kim and Tim. I like that. And then she drew like a little heart on the casting call sheet. And I was like, oh, maybe she liked us. And then 2 weeks later, we got the email that we were gonna be invited to be on the show. And I was like screaming.
That's crazy. Cool.
It's so exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then we worked for the next 5 months to get like to prepare our pitch and our set design. Preparing for Shark Tank's like a part-time job, literally. Like you rework your pitch 7 or 8 times. You're working with producers every single week. You're setting up your set, you know, you design that. So you bring it all with you. Yeah. I don't know if people realize that. And so it's just, it's a lot of work on top of the fact that you have to be, your business has to be growing and you might also be raising money and you might also have a newborn.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you did it, but man, you did it.
Yeah, with the help, with lots of help. So my husband joined me and then we filmed that September. Robert Herjavec offered us $400,000 for a 20% equity stake. And honestly, we were going to make $1 million that year. So I feel like that was like not a good deal because essentially it's a $2 million valuation, even though we're making $1 million. People get $2 million valuations when they first start their company and they have no actual traction or revenue. Mm-hmm. So for us to be making $1 million, we should have at least gotten a $4 to $6 million valuation. So then later I got like my first term sheet from an investor, but I turned it down because it was like $6 million. And that was after we had filmed for Shark Tank. I was like, well, now we're going to do $1 million revenue and we're going to be on Shark Tank. So like we're worth more than $5 million, you know? And so then later we actually aired in 2019 in March. And that was the time that I met Jeff Weiner, the former CEO of LinkedIn. And he saw us on the show and was like, I want to invest $1 million into that couple. So he like called us up. And it's funny, I got connected with him through Arlen. So Arlen made an intro to Jeff's partner who invests with him. And then Jeff called me up and was like, I want to invest. So it's like, you know, it's funny. All of the women on my cap table may have had the smallest checks, but the biggest impact because they've made the most intros for me. And it's funny, the men have the bigger checks, but you know, they don't do as much work. They're like, hey, I was the money, you know? And the women are like, hey, like we don't have the money, but we have networks and access and we'll give that to you. Sonia Nagar, she was also a partner at Pritzker. She also had an exit as well, but she's another one of those like smaller checks that like does a lot. So love her. So then we were on Shark Tank. We got this investment from Jeff and we did about $5 million that year in revenue.
Wow.
So it was like a big growth, big jump up. And that following year, we had gotten to about $6 million and we launched 4C only. So at this point, I realized I wanted to be more like a Procter & Gamble, but direct to consumer. Mm-hmm. So have multiple brands and overlook segments of the market. And 4C only was our first attempt at doing that. 4C is like the kinkiest of hair textures. So think about like Lupita Nyong'o. I hope I'm saying her name right, but she has very kinky hair, right? She doesn't want to wear a wash and go like my hair. She wants to wear her hair kind of in its like natural kinky texture state. And so we launched 4C only for that community. And honestly, after that, you know, I thought I would have had an easier time fundraising, but I didn't. People would say, we want to see more.
It's interesting. Wow.
And I had gotten to $6 million and I was just like, but I guess I didn't raise fast enough, right? I could have raised quicker, but I wanted to kind of like figure out what I was doing with the business and grow a bit more. Mm-hmm. And so I had a difficult time fundraising and I was like, you know what? I have 100,000 customers. I don't need a VC. I can raise my own money. And we ended up crowdfunding $4.5 million from our community. Just last year in equity crowdfunding, one of the largest ever in the beauty space. Wow. And that brought a lot of noise, you know, a lot of attention because we basically have like 7,000 investors in that crowdfund.
Wow.
And so we did that Reg CF or regulation crowdfund. We closed it at the end of December last year. And this year was all about getting to $10 million in revenue. I've been trying to get there for a long time. And last month we did our first $1 million month. So even bigger than Shark Tank or going viral on Chance with Chance the Rapper, like all that. Like this is our biggest month that we engineered. So I'm super excited about that. So now I'm out raising my Series A and I hope to go public one day. That is like my goal and my dream.
You are killing it, and you will go public. I am so proud to even know you, Kim. And
you're so sweet. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, your story is just an incredible one, and I'm just so in awe of all the hard. I know how hard that work is, and how many no's you need to go through to get to a yes.
Man.
But would you say a lot of it is just like you said at the beginning, getting out there, getting in front of people and telling your story? And that's my first question. My second question is, how did you know how to make hair product?
Oh my gosh, I didn't. And if I was not married to my husband, I would not have decided to manufacture my own products. That's probably been one of the hardest things to figure out. And he's a tinkerer, so he's helped me with that. I definitely formulated a lot of our early formulas. I just spent a lot of time on cosmetic chemistry blogs, on scientist blogs. I have a friend who runs a contract manufacturing facility. So she's given me tips here and there. I've paid consulting for her. And trial and error, honestly, I'm willing to fail at plenty of things. And so because I'm willing to fail, I end up succeeding more often than not. But I do fail a lot. You know, I feel like I've had 3 business failures under my belt before we started to hit our stride with Curl Mix. The niche social network, the photography company, and Curl Mix of the DIY box, I consider all 3 of those failures. So, and I put my own money into those companies, you know, so that was the first thing. And I incurred debt for that I'm still paying off.
Yeah.
But that was the sacrifice I was willing to make. I think I've gotten this far. One, I've had a lot of help being married, finding my life partner at 16, made life a lot easier in many ways. And he's been incredible. He's probably the most supportive person I could ever hope to find. Mm-hmm. And the most selfless. And he believes in me so much. I was talking to a personality psychologist. She's the author of The Charisma Myth. Her name is Olivia Fox Cabane. And she was telling me that she asked me if I had ever hated myself. I was like, hated myself? What do you mean? She's like, yeah, most people, you know, they go through about a depression and they're going to have a difficult time. I was like, you know, I don't think I've ever like, you know, been through something like that. And so she was like, you know, she was like, that's very rare. And she also said that it's probably because I've had my husband, basically half of my life, encouraging me the entire time and telling me how amazing I was, even when I didn't feel amazing. And helped me recognize my value. I remember one time he said to me, I wish you saw yourself the way I see you. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, so I always remember that. So whenever I'm feeling down or I want to quit, you know, he kind of always kind of like pushes me forward. And I think that has helped me get through all of the hurdles, the many, many, many hurdles of running a business. Because some of the hurdles, you say, what are the hurdles you're talking about, Kim? When someone says they're going to invest, but they don't. When someone who's supposed to be here a long time as an executive doesn't, or when they don't do their job well, you have to come back and fix it. When you run out of money and you have to find it. When you think you might miss a payroll, and like, how do you deal with that? If you have to lay people off, if you have to, it's not a bad product and you got to fix it. Like, there are so many hurdles. And then that, you know, being fundraising and being Black, being a woman, not having the access to the knowledge of the things that you need to grow your business and scale it, taking risks on going to events that may amount to nothing, you know, or may amount to everything, but you don't know. So you're like, I'm just going to spend this $3,000 to $5,000 and go and see what happens. Right. I'm gonna make my own luck. So those are some of the hurdles that I think I've experienced, but having his support has definitely propelled me in all of that.
Wow. Everything you said is so important, because being an entrepreneur is not for the faint of heart. And even though I hear you say, you know, we made 1 million, we're going to make 10, you know, that sounds like a lot of money. But to get there, and what it takes, and all the people that you need to pay and, you know, consult with or, you know, invest in, it doesn't mean you're just sitting back in the lavish luxury of anything. It means now you have even more hard work to do.
Oh my gosh, I've got $1 million business. I had $1 million business and $1 million bills. Okay. Mm-hmm. My you know, advertising and marketing is 30% of revenue. My team is another 20% at least. Cost of goods sold, another 10 to 15, shipping another 10%. Like, you know, that money is eaten up by that revenue. I'm hoping to be profitable this year and maybe even next year. But I probably won't see any real like wealth on my end until we get closer to a liquidity event of either going public or selling a company or something like that. Or we raise a Series A, that's $20 million. You know, that's when I would see a lot of financial personal gain. But currently, I'm still living a very regular life with like a normal salary. So I'm not like rich, even though our business will make a lot of money this year.
Yeah. So let me touch on something you touched on a little bit, but it was around, you know, the whole VC funding and how women don't get money. It's less than 3% for women. For women of color, it's less than half of that. How did you deal with that?
I did the no thing where I was just barking up all the wrong trees and they were all likely going to see more. I did that for maybe 20 VC calls. And I was like, you know, this is a huge waste of my time. I'm going to have to figure out how to make money before I get money. Arlen was the only person who bet on me before I was making a lot of money. So of course, like another Black woman understands. So she sees it, you know, so yeah, she gets it right away. But other people don't. So even by the time I was making millions, you know, they didn't get it. And so I had to kind of make my own way, make my own luck, which is why I love crowdfunding for that. I think it gives us options, right? Before we didn't, crowdfunding 5 million wasn't legal. You could only do 1 million and it wasn't only legal after the pandemic. So the government made different approvals so that we could raise up to 5 million in equity crowdfunding. It's called the Jobs Act. It was actually under the Obama administration that implemented it so that you could crowdfund from retail investors. Because before, the only people who could invest were really wealthy individuals. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have X amount of money in net worth, you couldn't angel invest legally. So if you were an accredited investor. And so now unaccredited investors can invest where it was $50, you know, and that law made that legal. And it raised it from 1 million to 5 million April 6th of 2021. So that was what I had to do, you know, being a Black woman and trying to raise venture capital. And now that we were able to do that, because that was so unprecedented, it's making people perk up a bit more. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm having Series A investment calls where people are taking me a lot more seriously now because they're like, what you did was not normal, right? Like we didn't think that was possible for a lot of people. So she obviously has something that we are missing.
Yes.
It's a very powerful stuff, you know, and it's amazing to see everyone come together, especially always for women and in their businesses, you know, from these different failures you talk about, you know, to taking these no's, where does all your entrepreneurial spirit come from? Or how do you keep, you know, getting back up and fighting that every day?
My mother, my mom had very difficult jobs. She was in the Army, right out of high school, and then the Navy. And then she laid tile for a living for almost a decade. And so she just had, and she was a bus driver. So she had jobs that were typically reserved for men, you know, air quotes. And she has a ton of grit. You know, my mom, when she was a teenager, she was snatched, like literally snatched off the street and she fought off her captor.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. She like fought him off before he could like steal her away. You know, who knows, if he had been successful, I might have never been born, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of toughness that she has and the kind of grit that she has. And so she just instilled a lot of that in me, that like, you don't quit, you know, mm-hmm. you don't quit. And so, and a lot of successful founders will tell you they only got where they got because they didn't quit. And that's right. Essentially the spirit I've taken in all of this.
Yeah, can be very difficult. There are many days, right, where you'd kind of drop to your knees and think, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Yeah. But you have to have that tenacity to stand back up and say, okay, I'm going to dust myself off and I'm going to take the next step forward, which is really, really hard, right? So what advice would you give to women who are venturing down these paths of entrepreneurship?
So many things. You know, I knew I had to make money before I was going to get money. So I would, one, figure out your revenue model before you start your business. One of the mistakes I made with my niche social network was I didn't have one. I was like, if I build a community, then I can figure out how to make money later. That only works if you're going to be funded. And that only works if you know someone who's going to fund you. If you don't have anyone who's going to fund you and you don't know where they're going to come from, you need to have a revenue model. Sometimes that limits us in the kinds of businesses that we can make as women, which kind of sucks. It means you can't go after the big problems like climate change or mm-hmm. You know, a new renewable energy source. These are things that need venture capital or people who can allow you to invest big and lose money a lot up front because one day it's going to be a $1 billion idea. But for a lot of times, women, we don't get that luxury. Mm-hmm. So I would say, think about your revenue model and how you're going to make money from day one.
It's a great piece of advice. I mean, money just keeps all the wheels turning, and you need that. You need to pay people, you need to pay yourself. So that's the only way you're going to really stay afloat.
Agreed.
Are there any other topics that we didn't touch on today that you'd like to touch on before we close?
So currently I have been investing in my personal brand. So if you guys would do me a favor and follow me on Kim Lewis CEO.
Of course.
On Instagram, I would love that. But that's the only ask.
Yeah. So we want to follow you along until you go public. and tell us, like, who's your typical customer? Who uses your product?
So a woman over 40 with textured hair. So if her hair is curly, kinky, coily, but she wants to wear a wash and go, like kind of how my hair is styled right now. If you look at any of my pictures, if she wants to wear it like that, that's an ideal customer.
How do you reach your customers? What's the best way for them to see your product? I know you have a website, you're on Insta. How else do you get your word out?
We use paid marketing. So paid advertising with Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, things like that. It's the best way to get in front of other people and give you predictable income. If you learn how to master those platforms from an ad perspective, you'll be very successful. Social is hit or miss. And honestly, I don't invest a lot of time in it because I think for what you pay the person salary wise and what you're going to get back revenue wise from just organic social, it's not there in my opinion. Because you also have to produce the content that's actually being posted. So those are just full-time jobs. Whereas if you master digital marketing and ads and email, you will get, $2 or $3 for every dollar you put in. It can be a guaranteed return if you learn how to master those platforms.
Got it. What else, Meg? Do you have any other questions?
I don't. I feel like I've just gained a ton of knowledge today and really inspired by the story, and I'm still can't get over your mom. I'm just in awe over here.
I know. You have an amazing story, a powerful story. We can't wait to broadcast it out and watch your trajectory along the way. So thank you so much, Kim, for joining us today. It's been so fun to hear your story and your successes and know that, it's a lot of ups and downs, but you are just killing it. And we are so lucky to know you and so proud of you.
Thank you so much, you guys. Have a beautiful day. And thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
Of course. Talk soon.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.